This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeder's fueled. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
On the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're discussing things and stuff. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Sorry for no show last week. We had family in town, and as much as we love you, that took precedence.
What?
I know. Before we go too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
Okay, so we're probably going to have the shortest show we've ever done just because we're woefully ill-prepared this week. So let's stretch out what's new on the blog as long as possible.
But Brian, when are we ever prepared?
There was that one time.
So what's new on the blog? The Hondo caravan is out of the station and off and running. In the past 2 weeks, Bria has watched the Clone Wars feature film and just today learned that, yes, Jar Jar does play a role in the Clone Wars animated series. But also, just as a note, in case you haven't read any of Bria's blog posts about the Hondo caravan, she's already addressed several times why she's not watching the show in chronological order. Many, many times. So, stop asking her why she's not doing it. Because she's not. And since she's doing this for free and in her own spare time and writing it up for the blog, she gets to do whatever she wants. So, zip it.
But do read along with the Hondo Express, because if you
Hondo
enjoy
Caravan.
The Hondo Caravan, because if you enjoyed the Waru Express,
do you love the Hondo Caravan?
Absolutely, because there's infinitely more Hondo in it.
There is infinitely more Hondo
and
in
infinitely
it.
Infinitely less
Waru. Well, there is the Mortis episodes.
Yeah. Oh, Bria, you're going to have fun with those ones.
And we all learned in Apocalypse that Abeloth really should have been there, too.
I'll take shoehorning for 500, Alex.
Spoilers. we talked about a little bit on the last show, but Bria posted her expanded universe wish list for 2014. Like I said, we talked about this on the podcast a little bit. Some of the things she wanted was Greg Keyes writing a Tahiri book, Martha Wells writing more Leia, more X-Wings and Wraiths and Rogues, and a book about Matthew Stover writing a prequel trilogy book about Mace and Deppa as Master and Padawan. Lots of cool stuff.
So what would you like, Nancy?
Well, I mentioned it last week already. I want my Palpatine Vader book in the Empire and Rebellion series.
You want your Palpatine book. Palpatine book.
I'm going to pretend you didn't do that.
Okay.
That's awful. I think that's the worst thing you've ever done on the podcast.
Oh, let's not say things we can't take back.
What would you like, Brian?
I would go for... Oh, this joke doesn't work quite as well anymore, but I'm going to run with it anyways. Empire and Rebellion, colon, X-Wing, colon, Red Squadron, colon, Death by Colons.
They need some more fiber.
Need some more fiber.
Basically, what I would like for 2014 is some more announcements of books and to know some semblance of what is going to happen to the expanded universe going forward.
Might be a little while before we hear on that, but even though they're not calling it Empire and Rebellion anymore, I still expect more of that. But we'll come back to that.
Yes. And Brian, you, that's you.
That's me.
You wrote an article about a different Brian, who's nowhere near as cool as you are, about Brian Wood and changing harassment culture. And we will be discussing this later. In the Things and Stuff segment. Excitement. And that's what's been new on the blog.
Not a whole lot.
Hondo Caravan and harassment. Yay!
Not a whole lot, unfortunately.
See, Hondo doesn't harass people. Hondo just kills them.
He is a pirate, after all. So, with that, we go into Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've done in the last week or so, and as is tradition on this segment, Nancy, we start with you.
Well, I am chest deep in National Novel Writing Month shenanigans. Today, I broke 40,000 words.
Woo! 10,000 until you beat Nano.
Yeah, but not really, because my goal is to finish 31 chapters, and I just finished 19, so I've still got a bunch more to go.
So it's not enough just to write 50,000 words in a month?
Nope.
Okay.
No. I need to finish most of the book, even though I'm going to have to go back and fill in all the blanks from when I wrote brackets, insert action scene here, which I did. And last week, we bid a fond farewell to the Food and Wine Festival.
Aww. Aww. Epcot's Food and Wine Festival every fall. A great little bit of world cuisine we can all take part in.
Yes. We also visited the Osborne Lights, which means that, yes, Christmas is in full swing at Disney World. And speaking of swing, we saw Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
I am totally going to geek out over Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. They are one of my favorite musical acts, and they are so much fun to watch live.
You paused right when I was taking a drink.
I know. I'm sorry.
Podcasting in the same room was supposed to stop those things from happening.
But yes, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. That was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
You liked it, and you're not a big jazz fan.
I like swing music.
Swing is jazz.
Nope.
Yes, it's a subgenre of jazz.
Nope.
Yes, it is. It is.
No.
I'll go get any of my old music theory textbooks.
Well, I like them. And they were good. I would like to see them again.
Okay.
And so, yes. We also saw Thor: The Dark World.
Oh, it was such a good movie.
Yes, we can talk about that now.
And here be spoilers.
Here be spoilers. It was a fun movie. It had the worst start of any movie I've seen in a long time, though.
I'm officially on board the get rid of prologues in all the movies
bandwagon. Yes. As a person who follows many agents on Twitter and editors, I have learned that prologues are bad. Bad, bad, bad. People start the story too early. All that stuff. We discussed this with Pacific Rim, I think. I wrote a blog post about that. I can understand you need prologues and you need, like, a little voiceover explaining what's happened because you think movie audiences are dumb and can't figure things out. However, it was basically a completely separate part of the movie with a really horrible voiceover by Anthony Hopkins. And I was just sitting there going, Oh my god, please let this not be indicative of the rest of the movie.
Thankfully it wasn't.
Thankfully it wasn't. But, oh my god. Then later on, Odin's reading his little book and explaining the ether and Malekith and all of this. And I'm like, why couldn't you have just put the flashback there?
Right?
It was, yeah.
They could have cut up all of the material they shot for that prologue and just insert it there with Anthony Hopkins reading the book.
Yeah, they did a little prologue in Thor. They did a prologue in Thor, and it didn't seem nearly as bad.
Well, that's because they didn't rehash it 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
That's the same problem Ender's Game had.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty much the only thing I really couldn't stand about it. The first part was kind of slow, but then once it became the Thor and Loki road trip, it got pretty funny.
That might be the greatest thing about this movie, is it was a legitimately funny movie.
It was, I laughed a lot.
I laughed a whole lot more than I thought I was going to going into it.
And I think it kind of by the end, they're like, yeah, this whole physics thing is kind of ridiculous and we're just going to go with it. And I applaud them for that.
Yep. I mean, there was a point where I thought Benny Hill should have started playing, but that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of all the grim, dark movies anyway, so...
Oh, this was so much better than Man of Steel.
I didn't see Man of Steel.
Oh, so much better.
But it's so funny, because it's like, with the exception of Batman, it seems like all the older grim, dark movies are not doing well lately, whereas movies like the Marvel movies are. So it'll be interesting to see how it works going forward. And I know a friend of mine was saying that the Winter Soldier is going to be really different from the first Captain America, because it's going to be a completely different type of tone, which
has me worried, because I love the original Captain America, because it was the best Indiana Jones film since Last Crusade.
Yeah. But I enjoyed Thor. Frigga was awesome. I wish there had been more of her in the first movie other than her just looking at Odin. And
we got more of her. We got more of Sif.
Yeah, I wanted more of Sif. More of Sif. And I know people had issues. Some people had issues with Sif, and they said that she was kind of like... it was too like lovesick for her. But I didn't think so.
I thought it was perfectly understated how they did it.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was just really just like that one conversation in the beginning, and you really could have read that as like her just being concerned for him and not necessarily trying to like get with him.
Yeah.
And then later on, there's like, she, you know, gives that look. But it also, I mean, that could have also been read as being concerned for Thor. And I mean, I understand when, she's supposed to be with Thor. I mean, mythology-wise.
Correct.
And, like, in the universe itself, you know, Odin's basically like, you should be with her. And, I mean, logically, yeah, he should be with her. And he probably will be with her because mythology and comics and all that stuff. But, so for someone who's being told, yeah, you and him are supposed to be together... And obviously she likes him because they, you know, are friends and stuff. It would be kind of just weird that being in that whole situation. So I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I'm glad they didn't go further than what they did, because then it would have gotten all love triangle-y and stupid.
Yeah, which the movie didn't need. I thought they handled it perfectly. It was understated, but you could read into it and see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't mind Jane really in this movie. I liked the stuff that she did at the end, but I am I get really bored watching Natalie Portman. I'm sorry. I can tell she just doesn't like being in these movies. Darcy, on the other hand, loves being in these movies.
Kat Denning was great.
Yeah, she's...
I think she kind of plays the same character in everything she's in, though.
She does.
But it works really well.
Yeah, everyone's like, you know, everyone wants a Loki movie. And I'm like, can I have a Darcy movie? I'm like, a Darcy and Loki movie. That would be fun. I do like how everyone, like, punched Loki or slapped him or threatened him. By the end, he's like, yeah, I get it. You're going to have to be in a line.
And Chris Hemsworth, he was great.
He's Thor.
He is Thor in the way that Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of think that Robert Downey Jr. and Tony Stark have kind of run their course in the cinematic universe.
I think a lot of the characters have. Well, Thor 2 set up a sequel very well.
Yeah.
And I hope that they do that and then kind of move on. Because, like, Iron Man 3, I really had no desire to see because I was kind of like, well, where are they going to go? Like, Avengers, you know, was an ensemble piece, but it was very much about Tony Stark and being a hero. And it kind of seemed like the end to his arc, you know? So when I'm like, okay, well, what are they going to do for a sequel? I'm not that huge of a fan of Iron Man to begin with. So, you know, there's only so far you can go with one character.
But I think there's still room for Thor.
Well, there's definitely room for a sequel because they set it up perfectly. Because, spoilers! Loki is Odin.
So I kind of like the arc they're setting up, though. The first film is Thor being humbled.
Mm-hmm.
The second film is him... He's retained that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clear that he's not ready to take the throne.
Right.
So the third film is pretty clearly setting up for that, but it makes a lot of logical sense to go that way. So there's a place to go.
Yeah.
So whereas Thor, the third film, I think has a place to go, the third Iron Man film just seemed like it was there.
Mm. Yeah. Plus, it makes me wonder, I kind of want to go back and see Thor just so I can try to pick out when, like it's like, okay, so when did he actually take over, and like, where is Odin dead? Is he alive? Is he being kept in the dungeon? What's going on? So yeah,
I'm going with he's dead.
That would be sad.
Ah, because it means no more Anthony Hopkins.
Nah, I can live with that. Yeah.
Also, how great was Idris Elba in this?
Yeah, I would like more of him. I like more of everybody, pretty much.
The whole ensemble was great.
I would like less of Jane, more of everyone else. I want more of Eric
being crazy. He was the... runaway surprise.
He had the best line in the movie. I'm gonna eat in my pants. I want to say that every time I'm about to do something, I'm gonna need my pants. And my favorite part was Thor hanging Mjolnir on the coat rack because that was hilarious.
I loved it. If you haven't seen Thor the Dark World yet, go see it.
Oh, and best Stan Lee cameo or best Stan
Lee
cameo?
Best Stan Lee cameo. Best.
Yeah. Best Stan Lee cameo.
Also the best second stinger.
What?
After the second set of credits.
Oh. Stinger. I thought you said stare.
Stinger.
Yes. So for those of you who stayed and watched the credits, because you should, because it's a Marvel movie, there's the, you know, little... There's the Jotunheim beast running around chasing birds. I went, oh my god, it's Mara.
Mara's in the room right now. Mara, are you a Jotunheim beast?
I think she is. I think she is part Jotunheim beast.
And we're forgetting one great thing from this film. Cap's cameo.
Oh, yes. Which I need to see the movie again because I couldn't understand nearly anything he was saying.
The entire audience lost.
It was like the puny god thing all over again.
You know, I didn't hear what was said during the puny god thing until like the fourth time I'd seen the Avengers. Oh, that was great. But yes, Thor the Dark World, I recommend it highly.
Yep, agreed.
And that's what you've been up to. As for me, not much. I've been playing a lot of FIFA 2014 and Tiny Death Star.
Exciting!
Hold me closer, Tiny Death Star. Count the X-Wings in the trenches.
I'm so sorry, everyone. I tried to make him stop.
Not hard enough.
No.
But yeah, not. Tiny Death Star, it's a ton of fun. If you got a mobile device, it's a great game to have on there.
Okay.
And we'll move on so I don't sing again. And it's time for Deke Sturt, news and rumors from around fandom. And are you as excited for the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special like I am?
No.
And Deke Sturt just came to a crashing halt.
Sorry. You were asking a question. I was answering.
That was a rhetorical question.
Oh, I'll be quiet now.
Okay. You're in luck if you are excited because BBC just released released last week the Night of the Doctor mini episode, and holy crap, that was wow. That was a thing, and it was wow. Yeah. Suddenly Paul McGann. So if you haven't seen it yet, it's on the blog.
Explain it for those of us who are Who illiterate.
So Paul McGann played the...
I like that name, by the way. Paul McGann. I want to use it in a book.
Paul McGann.
Yeah.
Played the Eighth Doctor for the made-for-TV movie on Fox that tried to get Doctor Who out to American audiences. Then Doctor Who went away for a long time. Then it came back, and Christopher Eccleston was playing a different Doctor. And we never really really knew why, or Christopher Eccleston was playing the Doctor, and we never really knew what happened to the Eighth Doctor. And then last week we found out.
Oh.
He was on a spaceship that crashed. And then he was given wibbly-wobbly stuff that allowed him to choose which kind of doctor he turned into, and he regenerated, and then we found out, oh crap, there's another doctor in between 8 and what we thought was 9.
Oh, there was?
Yes.
Oh.
That's what blew everyone's mind.
Oh.
I'm excited. 50th anniversary special. It's gonna be wild.
So is... Oh, okay. Is that John Hurt, or is he different?
Yes, that's John Hurt.
Hurt, okay. So he's going to be in... Oh, okay. So he was in... Was he in the little video thingy?
His reflection was.
Ooh, his reflection.
So, yes. I'm excited. And in other news outside of the Star Wars fandom, 4 live-action Marvel shows are coming to Netflix. That's... Talk about creative ways to get your content out there.
Right.
What we've got are Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones, and they're all going to get 13 episode or so miniseries runs, and it's all going to culminate in a miniseries event based on the Defenders.
Cool.
So, kind of like the small screen version of the Marvel film universe. I'm excited. It's a really creative concept.
Yes. And, of course, everyone else was like, huh, will they do this with Star Wars?
Can we go back to our well and our Star Wars TV series pitch ideas? X-Wing.
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 So, yeah, 4 live-action Marvel shows are coming to Netflix. Ooh. And finally, for the first time today, we're talking about Star Wars.
What?
Well, we talked about Star Wars earlier, but it's been a while.
We talked about Tiny Death Star.
Yeah, we did talk about Tiny Death Star. A new cover for Honor Among Thieves was released today.
Yes. It's, like, paint drawn and stuff.
I think I like it more than the cover for Razor's Edge.
I do too, and I definitely like it better than the old one. I went back and looked at the old cover.
Yeah.
And it was definitely better. It still would be nice to have, like, new poses and everything, except them just using old things and drawing it. But they used to do that on all the book covers anyway, so...
We'll take what we can get. It's a neat-looking cover.
Yeah, I like it. And it's got a new character on it, so cool. Her name is Scarlet Hark. Hark!
And one interesting thing, the book no longer contains the series title, Empire and Rebellion.
Yeah, so... what does that mean? What does that mean?
Personally, I think it means that they thought the title Empire and Rebellion was just a bit too cumbersome.
I really hope it doesn't mean that the Luke novel is not going to be happening, because if they cancel it, I will kill somebody. No, I really won't, but I'll be tempted.
No, Nancy won't. You'll be sad, though.
I will! I want a Luke novel!
Wow. honestly, I think the book's safe. I mean, they had the outline months ago. Kevin Hearn's been working on it. If anything, I think they're going to bring it into 2014 instead of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not worried about that. It's just interesting that they dropped Empire and Rebellion from the series moniker.
I hope so.
And, well, it's been a while since we podcasted, so we haven't gotten the chance to talk about this yet, but mark your calendars!
Are we going to Disneyland?
We could go after, if you'd like.
Oh, okay.
But we have a release date for Episode 7, December 18th, 2015.
Mm-hmm. Confused? December! I'm not sure if want...
Well, you want Episode 7.
I know, it's so weird, though, and it's going to be on a Friday. I know everyone else would be, like, excited, but I'm just like, too many changes! Stop the changes! And it's not going to have the Fox fanfare. I'm getting all my whining out now so that when the movie actually comes out, I won't whine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did we really have to get a news release, though, that the Fox fanfare is not going to be in it?
I don't think they did.
They did!
There were
news releases everywhere talking about it.
They did? When was this?
I don't think it was StarWars.com, but they released a media statement and a bunch of news sites picked it up. Confirmed Fox fanfare will not be in Episode 7. No! Duh!
It's so sad.
I mean, I know. So what we're going to do, everyone on the count of three... We'll get out their cell phones and play the Fox fanfare theme. Because I need my security blanket.
Do you really?
Yes.
Do you really now?
Yes.
No, keep talking.
Okay, Nancy is pulling up something on her phone. But yes, December 18th, 2015, that is, that's the day when all the speculation can just go... I guess this podcast needed the Fox fanfare. You know the strange thing? Our children will not grow up thinking that Star Wars is about to happen when the Fox fanfare plays.
Aww, sadness. That makes me sad. I don't like it.
I don't know what to think about that. Careful, if you play too much of that, we owe Fox royalties. Yes, December 18, 2015. Be there. We will. We'll be recording a podcast from the line.
I probably will. I don't know how they do the whole midnight shows, though. I haven't been to one in, like, a while.
I did the midnight show for the Avengers, and everyone was lined up early.
Right, but I don't know if they do them anymore, though. Because I know a bunch of people have been going at, like, 10 o'clock. And that's not a midnight show. I'm sorry.
I know. 10.
Again, with the changes.
I hope it's a midnight showing, just because there's nothing quite like a midnight premiere.
Yeah.
But yes, and in addition, Bad Robot trolled us all by tweeting a picture of J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy, and R2-D2.
Yes. And everyone was like, does this mean R2-D2 is going to be in episode 7? Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Today it was a blog post on StarWars.com. But yes, R2-D2 will be in the film. So the first confirmed cast member is a droid. Yay.
There's the confirmation you all want.
However, there is a very cool story behind this.
This is really, really cool. I was so happy to read
this. So in the picture that they tweeted, there's J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy, R2-D2, and two other guys. Apparently, the two other guys are from the R2-D2 Builders Club, Lee Towersy and Oliver Steeples. They were at Celebration Europe 2, and Kathleen Kennedy toured the area, and they were kind of like, hey, if you need anyone to work, ha ha ha. And then later on, they get a call from someone wanting them to work on episode 7, and they were recommended by Kathleen Kennedy. So now they are part of the creature effects team. So the R2-D2 that you see is fan-built, and it's the one that's going to be in the movie is fan-built. And their goal is to build a better R2, and I think that's pretty awesome.
Their goal is to build a better R2, and now they have Lucasfilm's budget behind
right?
them. That is, oh, I'm so happy for them.
Well, I mean, I remember hearing a story about how George Lucas was like, not annoyed, like in a good natured way, that they had so many problems with R2 on the, you know, when shooting the movies, and then like here you go to the convention and there's these R2s rolling around with no problems, and he's like, why is this so easy? So I guess they finally just said, we should just get the guys who do it at the conventions to do it in the movies.
Yeah, so great news for these guys. It's just a great, great story. I love it.
It's a dream come true.
Yeah, so congratulations to the R2 Builders Club, and have a ton of fun on the set.
Yes.
And, it's rumor time.
Rumor time?
Rumor time.
Well, it's not really rumor time. There are official casting calls.
Speculation time?
Yes.
We'll call it speculation
but
time.
But there are casting calls going on for Star Wars that was confirmed. They are for Star Wars Episode 7. For the website says major roles. And the characters are Rachel and Thomas, to which I have to just pause for a moment and go, I hope that's their real names. Because that would be hilarious. Their names were Rachel and Thomas. It'd be like a YA novel.
You do realize that you just started a series of internet rumors that's going to send panic and shockwaves throughout the internet. Episode 7 is a YA film.
Well, yeah. I mean, the original Star Wars is too.
Did you guys watch A New Hope?
They're teenagers. But yeah, so... Oh, hello, Mara. Mara wants to chime in on these movies. I think they're trolling us with the names, but that's fine, because, you know, that's what they do.
Do you think they're actually going to throw the names out into the wild right now?
No.
If these are actually the main characters...
Well, I mean, you had Matt Lanter reading for Anakin Skywalker, having no idea who he was reading for the Clone Wars, so, yeah.
I mean, if these are actually the main characters, these are probably just dummy names they're using right now.
Yeah. And also, just because it says they're major roles doesn't mean they're the main protagonist in the movie. I know I've read some speculation about how the casting call, how it describes them, basically puts it as they couldn't be Skywalkers or Solos, just because of how they're described and like their family backgrounds. But so that doesn't mean the main characters of the movie are not going to be Skywalkers or Solos.
And honestly, the main characters, they're probably keeping that under heavy, heavy wraps right now.
Yeah.
Anyone auditioning for them is not going through these public channels that we're seeing everywhere.
Yeah, and people were like, well, Harry Potter did it, but I think that was a very different situation because they were casting children.
Yeah. Well, they were casting children, and we already knew who the characters were.
Yeah. So, these characters aren't necessarily the main protagonists in the film.
No.
They might be, but are we going to know for any time soon? Not until they start giving us information about what the movie's about.
And at the very least, this is nothing worth panicking over.
Yeah. I was reading some of the things about, the main characters not being Skywalkers and Solos, which kind of bummed me out because I'm like, why would you have it be called Episode 7? And that's kind of why I think they have to be Skywalkers or Solos, because why else would
done two trilogies centered around
that. Yeah, if you're having it be about standalone characters and have it not be that saga, then have it be a standalone movie. It's not a continuation of the story that we know.
They could always surprise us, and it actually wouldn't be about them, and it'd still be a great film. But at this point, I just don't see that.
Yeah, like I can see these being like Jedi trainees or whatever that are under Luke, and they end up being like the main characters. But I still think that Luke and them are going to be in it, or at least like the second generation Skywalkers and Solos.
Yeah, so I'm not freaking out over this.
Yeah, so we'll see. I just want to know stuff still.
We can stop speculating wildly.
Yeah.
All right, that's Deke's Dirt, and with that we move into Cammy's Concerns. And this week isn't going to be all that fun to talk about.
No, we have to explain things to people.
So a trigger warning here. We're going to be discussing harassment and sexual harassment as it relates to fandom culture. So if that's a tough subject for you to listen to, go ahead and tune out to the rest of the episode.
Yes, but basically, what happened is in the past few weeks, there's been talk about Brian Wood, who is writer for one of Marvel's X-Men runs and the current Star Wars series, that he was accused of harassing female convention goers. And we have links on our blog post to some really good recaps of what had happened and the reactions and all of that. And basically, Brian Wood admitted to hitting on Tess Fowler was her name, and she was a fellow comics professional. But basically saying that's all there was to it. And so we're not here to really talk about Brian Wood specifically or what should happen to him, because it's really not our decision.
No.
I wasn't reading Star Wars to begin with, and now I probably definitely won't.
Yeah, I mean, just three things on Brian Wood real quick, because he is not the crux of the discussion today.
No.
First, I don't think either of us are going to call for Brian Wood to be fired for what he confessed to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's skeevy. Probably shouldn't be doing stuff like that while nominally on the job, but it's not our decision or our call to fire him or not. But second, if they did, it'd be hard to argue against it.
Yeah.
It certainly wouldn't be some sort of grave injustice.
Mm-hmm.
But second, if the additional allegations beyond what he's confessed to turn out to be true, or if more and more individuals come forward documenting misconduct, then I do think Marvel, Dark Horse, and Lucasfilm licensing should have a hard look at their working arrangement and strongly reevaluate if they should keep Brian Wood on as part of the brand.
Yes.
But third, most importantly, This issue goes way beyond infidelity between Brian Wood and his wife. There are a lot of people who tried to frame all of this as not. I don't want to say they were trying to underplay it, but they were trying to frame it as an issue that was really only between Brian Wood and his wife at the time. But for me at least, and I maybe for you as well, there are much broader fandom and societal issues this brings up that needs to be discussed. And since we cover fandom culture a lot, we mm-hmm. really should be addressing it on this show.
Yeah. So we've talked about before, you know, just general harassment happening between general convention goers or just happening at the con in general. So here's a helpful tip. If you're going to a convention and you have to ask yourself the question, is this hitting on someone or is this harassment? You probably shouldn't do it. Also, if you're going to a convention as a professional, you probably shouldn't be hitting on people to begin with because you're going there for work. And if you are going to a convention and you meet new people, try to be cognizant of the fact that while you may share interests and you may get to know each other and feel like you're best friends, you still need to maintain a modicum of decorum and keep your hands to yourself and don't make rude comments and don't make people uncomfortable. Which leads me to another point, is that it's not up to you to determine what makes someone else uncomfortable.
Yeah, you don't get to draw that line.
Hopefully, if you were doing something to make someone else uncomfortable and you genuinely were not aware of that, if a person, you know, tries to back away from a conversation or just says point blank to you, hey, that's kind of uncomfortable, be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And don't argue with them about it. it's really disheartening that people are still debating what is, you know, just hitting on someone and what's harassment, and people will be like, oh, well, so what, we can't hook up with people at cons anymore? Well, what's more important, being able to hook up with people at cons or creating a welcoming environment for everybody? I think the second one is more important.
Exactly. And just because you're at a convention doesn't mean that rules of decorum go out the window. Even at Dragon Con, it's a party convention, and we all know it.
Yeah.
But if you're caught harassing someone, you're going to get tossed out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I remember seeing something on Tumblr about the group of women that cosplayed as the Thor fangirls. I can't remember the name that they made for themselves, but it was basically like how they had done the Captain America, the ISO girls, and they were really, you know, cute costumes, and they walked around with Captain America and stuff. So they decided that Thor should have one too. So they had a guy dressed as Thor, and then they all made like female Thor costumes and walked around with Thor, and it was pretty awesome. And apparently there was an incident where one of them was either harassed or touched inappropriately, and they went after him and they ran him down and made it so that he could not leave so that the police could come and escort and arrest him.
And I think that brings up a bigger point. I mean, obviously don't go to the point where you're going to assault someone.
Yes, please don't do that.
Please don't do that, but we need to get to a point as fandom culture.
Well, we don't allow this to happen.
Yes, where it's just plain not tolerated. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but right now it is tolerated. It's tolerated as a culture as a whole. Yeah.
I think it's getting to the point where fans are probably less apt to tolerate it, just because there's been so much discussion And, you know, I know if I went to Dragon Con and I saw someone in that situation, I would be, you know, trying to get a security officer or calling the cops or, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm not a big, strong person, so there's not much I can do to detain someone physically. But I would definitely be there and be like, I saw this happen. This is what the person looked like, blah, blah, blah. You know, I wouldn't automatically go, well, were you sure that what happened is what actually happened? Maybe they were just being nice, or, oh, you're overreacting.
Okay, well, here's another point to bring up. Awkwardness does not excuse, or does not get you excused from the repercussions from crossing the line.
We get it. A lot of people who go to these conventions or who have these quote-unquote kiki interests are introverted. They might not...
I mean, not to use too broad a brush strokes, yeah. But...
Well, I mean, I'm talking about myself. I'm introverted. I don't, like, hang out in big groups a lot, you know, and I'm not saying that it's a negative thing.
I think both you and I have described ourselves as painfully awkward at points.
But, you know... You still know well enough that there's things you do and do not do. You know, we joke around a ton about the story leading up to us getting together because it was full of awkward situations because neither of us wanted to come off as a creep. But we still ended up getting together and no one creeped the other one out. So yay, it's possible. If you want to hook up with someone, you can.
But you've got to use the same social cues you use anywhere else.
Yeah. If you were, you know, if you, here's this. If a girl's alone by herself, it might not be a good idea to approach her. Especially if it's at night. In a dark area, just because that kind of puts people on edge. However, if you're in a larger group and you're chatting...
Well, given all these stories we hear, they're justified to be on edge.
But, you know, if you're in a group setting and you're like, hey, nice costume. Oh, great. That's... I mean, no one's saying you can't talk to someone of the opposite sex. It's just...
I guess a little bit of dating 101 here, but
don't assume that everyone wants to do you.
If we're gonna boil this down to anything, don't assume that. Yeah,
I mean, really, because that's what it is. I mean, if you meet someone and you're automatically like, "Hey, no, get to know someone first, or just go to conventions to have fun
and." Dudes listening to the show, let's have a one-on-one here. You're not entitled to physical relations.
What? I thought you were.
I'm sorry, you're just not.
No. You are entitled to a swift kick in the crotch if you try to touch someone without their consent.
Correct. But, this is part of the problem is... Fandom culture, especially at these conventions, is a very male-centric place.
It's getting better, but I think fandom generally is kind of equal now. But where the issues lie is in the professional circles. It's still
there's still very much a glass ceiling.
Yeah, there's still very much a male-dominated field.
And occasionally that culture trickles down to the fans.
Yeah, and like if a creator you like and admire doesn't think something is a big deal or like makes a joke about a female panelist or a female comics creator and you respond by laughing, you know, that's where the whole problem starts is, you know, them not thinking it's a big deal. I've read a lot of responses to the Brian Wood situation where people, you know, were trying to say that it wasn't a big deal, like what he did to, you know, hit on Tess Fowler at Comic-Con, completely ignoring the rest of the story, which is where she says that he, you know, created a hostile environment and he retaliated because she didn't basically put out. That's, you know, that's really, that's the definition of sexual harassment, basically.
It is, yes.
But the whole problem started when he basically propositioned her. And it's, there's a very big difference between hitting on someone, which is basically saying, hey, want to have a drink? Or, hey, can we talk later? Can I have your phone number?
If that had been the end of it.
Yeah.
Fine. But going the next day and accosting her in public?
Yeah. But he didn't just hit on her innocently. He propositioned her. And there's another story out where he did it to another
to a DC administrative employee.
Yeah, who, and this was in a public place. And people were like, well, that's, you know, there's, that's creepy, you know, that's not really creepy, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes, that is creepy, propositioning someone in a public place.
And then he accused her of improprieties while in the office.
Yeah, so, you know, just... We have to be, as fans, diligent to say that this type of behavior is not not acceptable. You know, we've spoken out as a fandom so many times where we said we want more diversity and inclusion, and I mean, just Star Wars in general is just so fan driven with the 501st and the Rebel Legion, and you know, the whole R2 builders thing. Like, we have a lot of power when we work together, and you know, if we say something like this is not acceptable, I would hope that the people in charge would at least listen to our concerns. Yeah,
and where we as fandom have to start, though, we have got to start taking harassment claims way more seriously than we do.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally understand the stance that Brian Wood, or insert
person
here, is innocent until proven guilty. What that does not mean, however, is that the person who is bringing these harassment details to light, that does not mean that person is a liar until proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
When we take that stance as a fandom, we make it infinitely harder for them to be taken seriously.
And even report something that happened. Like, if, you know, it's so easy for me to distance myself and say, oh, if something happened to me, I would be so quick to report it. But if it was someone I really respected, I would be scared out of my mind to say something.
It doesn't even have to be someone you read a lot of and have a lot of respect for. If it's someone who has a lot of clout.
Yeah. If it's a science fiction author who I've been having a conversation with about getting things published, and then all of a sudden they're coming on to me, I'm going to immediately think, oh my God, did I give them the wrong impression? Or, oh my God, what are they going to do if I say no? Or, oh my God, no one's going to believe me if I say something like this.
And this is
coming from me, who's been, has had this discussion a billion times, and I've always been like, oh no, I would never put up with anything like that. But if I was actually in this situation, I think it would be a lot different.
Well, the culture right now is set up to punish those who report harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are treated as liars until evidence magically appears to prove them innocent.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're treated like liars, anyone who corroborates their story will also be treated like liars.
Yeah, and I said something where, you know, if I start going to conventions as a professional writer ever, that I don't know if I'd want to be by myself, and not necessarily because I think anything bad is going to happen to me, because God forbid a situation where like that happened.
But if something did,
I would want someone there to back me up.
Because odds are, if something did happen and you reported it, you wouldn't be taken seriously.
Yeah. Or you'd have people going, oh, you must have misunderstood.
Yeah, and we it's not a one-way street. Mm-hmm. We have to stop assuming that the people bringing harassment claims to light are lying. That they have some sort of ulterior motive. That they're trying to destroy someone's career. That they're really trying to get ahead.
Because they really don't have anything to gain from it.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Like, it's not a situation where, you know, if you're at a normal office job and someone harasses you, you have a very clear way to report that. You go to HR, your company has a policy, they follow the policy, and it's very clear and written out, and they document everything. But if someone harasses you at a convention, I mean, conventions now have policies, which are great.
But they're still imperfect policies.
Yeah, and even if, you know, you go up and report, oh, so-and-so harassed me, they can act that, according to their policy.
That person can still get booted from the con.
Yeah, they can kick them out, but
it doesn't protect you from any of the societal fallout that comes from reporting it.
Yeah,
look at all of the pushback Tess Fowler has gotten since coming forward with this story that Brian Wood has essentially fessed up to.
Right. It's great that conventions are having these harassment policies now, and that's great for, you know, being at the con itself, and hopefully that will help spread the word that this is not okay. But I think we need to step up as a fandom and say it's not okay.
Yes, these convention policies have made it safer to be at the convention.
Yeah.
That's a very important thing. Please don't misunderstand me and think I'm downplaying that. It's hugely important. Conventions should have harassment policies to make your physical presence there safer. Mm-hmm. But as fandom, we have to stop making it hard for victims of harassment to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because the harder we make it, the easier it is for offenders to be repeat offenders.
Exactly. And, you know, I hope that one day we don't have to talk about this, but it's 2013 and we're still talking about it. So, if you see something happening at a con, step up. You know, if you are involved in a conversation where people are saying, oh, she's probably lying, blah, 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 you know, step up and say,
check your biases.
Did you talk to them? Do you know anything about the story? And yes, you know, you shouldn't go out with pitchforks and, you know, say that person should be fired and never do anything ever again. But if you're going to give the accused the benefit of the doubt,
you also got to give the accuser the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. And unfortunately, it turns into a whole he said, she said thing. And
unless we give the accuser the benefit of the doubt, that allows those who may have seen what happened to corroborate the story. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a he said, she said thing.
And who are you going to believe?
Exactly.
Unfortunately, most people want to believe that this horrible incident didn't happen. But as for me, it's hard for me not to think these things happen because I've heard so many stories.
We've heard the stories. We've seen these things happen.
I don't necessarily have seen it happen myself, but I've witness conversations where people are downplaying incidents like this and saying it's not a big deal. So if you don't think it's a big deal, who's to say you're not going to do it?
And again, this is the hard thing because I'm not here to tell Marvel, Lucasfilm Licensing, or Dark Horse what to do. But as fans, we can enact a lot of culture shift just on our own.
Yeah. And I mean, we had a discussion a few weeks ago about Ender's Game and how, you know, how do you separate the creator from the art? Should you separate the creator from the art? Are there instances where you should and there are instances where you shouldn't? And, you know, there might be someone out there who loves Brian Wood's comics but also doesn't want to, you know, have this sort of culture of harassment. And we're not saying don't ever read his comics because you can do whatever you want. But the important lesson to draw there is not from him. It's not about him or what he did. It's about the environment to try to create.
Yeah, we're not talking about Brian Wood here. We're talking about the culture.
We want to create an environment where this sort of thing doesn't happen at all.
Where it doesn't happen, where it's not encouraged. Drop Brian Wood's name from this entire conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put in any other name and the same holds true.
Yeah. Just treat people like people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, you know, just treat people with respect. I mean,
and going back to your whole separating the creator from the art thing, I mean, this is hard for me. I really wanted to go pick up his X-Men run.
Mm-hmm.
It's an X-Men run with all female characters, but in my head now, I can't divorce Brian Wood from the art.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's writing this cast of female characters, and these allegations are out. There's these things he's confessed to, and I just can't pick it up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
And again, this is not a Brian Wood thing. This is a culture thing. If it was any other comic with any other creator, I'd have the same problems.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've got someone in the chat now saying that they're dropping that X-Men run and that they can't read it anymore.
I mean, it does really, like, it hurts
to talk about.
Yeah. And it's, especially with that, it's so, you know, the issue at hand is so connected to him writing female characters, you know, kind of the whole Ender's Game thing is interesting because those books are a lot about, you know, they feature diversity and, you know, they talk about understanding people. And it's just, I know a lot of people who say they can't read them knowing that Orson Scott Card writes them, and that's fine. I never reached that point, but I know I have other issues where I can't read things because of the creator. So I think it's
a deeply personal thing.
It's a very personal issue. I don't think you should judge people for, you know, making that decision for themselves. But at the same time, I think people should have that information to make that decision for themselves.
Yeah, and we'll just wrap up again with what we said at the beginning. We don't think Brian Wood should be fired just for what he confessed to. If additional allegations come out at that point, the licensee holders may want to reevaluate their working relationship. But this is a hard topic.
Yeah.
There's no pretty way to handle it, unfortunately.
So basically, takeaways from this conversation are, if you're a male, or even if you're a female, don't assume everyone wants to do you.
Mm-hmm.
And treat people with respect, whether you're at conventions or in your everyday life.
Yeah.
And if you see someone being harassed, speak up and assist that person.
Yeah. As fans, we can affect a lot of change on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And where we can start right now, as far as harassment goes, we can start taking the claims of those who have been harassed seriously. We can stop assuming that they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all we're going to say on that one.
Yep.
That was a very heavy episode of Geek Scourge. Thanks for sticking with
us. Cammy's concerns.
Or Cammy's concerns,
sorry. She's very concerned this week.
Yeah, so thanks for sticking with us on that. And we're going to wrap up with a lone question in Ask Us Anything. Staff writer Emily asks us, Brian, do you like Here Come the Mummies? They do funk from beyond the grave. And yes, I do. I do enjoy funk. Speaking of which, if you like funk, go check out Tower of Power. Great group. And we've got a little bit of plugging to do for some of our sister shows.
Yes. Be sure to check out our sister podcast on the Majestic Giraffe Network, Wrong Opinions About Movies. On their most recent episode, they reviewed The Color Purple and 12 Years a Slave, speaking of heavy topics. And also, speaking of wrong opinions about movies, this weekend, Brian and I will be recording an episode with hosts Katie and Allie live from Tashi Station headquarters. And we'll be discussing Catching Fire because Matthew Bowers has wrong opinions about the Hunger Games and didn't want to talk about the movie. So we stole his show and are going to be doing a Catching Fire / Rollerball episode.
Do you know how hard it is to find dystopian films from the 70s and 80s that are available streaming on the internet?
Well, and also that they haven't done, because they've done Logan's Run.
They've done all the films.
And on the last, on their Hunger Games episode, they did
Battle Royale, which is the obvious comparison choice.
So yeah, we decided to watch Rollerball because it was listed as a dystopian movie and it was streaming on Netflix. So yeah. So, be sure to catch that episode on their feed. We'll link to it from the blog because we won't have a regular show next week because it's a holiday week and we have work and family obligations. So if you want to hear us talk about Catching Fire, check out that episode. And we'll also have a new episode of Women of Odd Enthusiasms with Emily and Bria. They'll be recording this weekend to talk about Thor and S.H.I.E.L.D.
So it's a Marvel weekend with Women of Odd Enthusiasms.
It is. So they'll be recording that this weekend. It should be up on the feed not long after that. So.
Yep. So we'll have links on the blog and in the Twitter feed. So keep an eye there and we'll keep you posted on that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Listeners of this show can get stuff through them, buy through those links, and help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye!
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.